Welcome. Thank you for being here today for our information session about Engaged Cornell. So I wanted to begin with a little preamble to try and set the context for what this thing is and why we are so passionate about it. For 150 years, Cornell has been a leader in the complex processes of making academic work more useful in the world. As a land-grant institution, we've built and nurtured a system of cooperative extension that stretches the boundaries of the university to the boundaries of the state. And expanding the terrain of learning, research, and collaboration for deep and lasting public purpose. As an Ivy League university, we participate in national communities of learning and research with the highest standards of inquiry and rigor. And as the only university that is both Ivy League and land grant, we meld these two powerful traditions, bringing excellence in scholarship together with profound commitment to public purpose. From where we sit, that is the heart of Engaged Cornell. Engaged Cornell is a lot more than the Office of Engagement Initiatives. We have many of our staff here, but this is much bigger than just us. Engaged Cornell is the tradition of usefulness that Ezra Cornell championed. It's the Lab of Ornithology's pioneering work in citizen science. It's what the Bronfenbrenner Center for Translational Research does in advancing scholarship for public purposes and into sound public policy. It's the Prison Education Program and the Public Service Center and the Southside Veterinary Clinic and so much more. Cornell's deep engagement with the world predates this Engaged Cornell initiative and will continue long after it. But we hope that in giving language to these vital activities and in naming this big tent of knowledge with a public purpose, we can offer some coherence to all of these diverse and storied traditions. And most importantly, through the work of Engaged Cornell, whether or not it has support from the Office of Engagement Initiatives directly, we can find ways to pitch in together in addressing the staggering challenges that our world faces today. So we're going to run through an array of our offerings today. All right. So a lot of people ask, how do we know if something is Engaged Cornell or if it's not? We think something is Engaged Cornell when it's advancing Cornell's mission through community-engaged discovery and learning. Went the wrong direction. Going to try it the other way. It's Engaged Cornell when it's also championing research, curricula, and co-curricular activities that are identified, designed, and implemented with partner communities. That's an important component there. There are many traditions of outreach that sort of do to rather than doing with, and we're really excited about practices of doing with. Preparing students to become global citizens, leading change, I think that says social change, and inspiring a new generation of teaching and research at Cornell and beyond. So another challenge some folks have is, wait a second, Cornell has this public engagement mission. Is that the same thing as Engaged Cornell? This is our little conceptual map of how we think about it. There's the university as a whole, which has this profound mission of public engagement historically. Within that, there's Engaged Cornell, which is an ethos of community engagement that's found across the university. And we see in Engaged Cornell, community-engaged curricula, co-curricular activities that are community-engaged, research, and also our long traditions of extension and outreach. And then within that, you have the Office of Engagement Initiatives itself, which is us. And this office exists to amplify Engaged Cornell's mission by leading programs, supporting scholarship, and promoting practices that really boost the quality of community engagement. And our three domains, as we will see next, are student and faculty engagement, impactful partnerships, and transformative leadership and influence. Scope and scale. We take seriously any student, any study. We work with all colleges and schools. And when people ask, well, what's your definition of community? We do that annoying thing of turning it right back around to you. What's your definition of community? Because we recognize communities can be geographic, they can be communities of identity, they can be about a whole host of other issues. And one of the things that we try not to do is tell anyone else what their definition of community should be. So the overview we're going to give you now will cover our grants and awards, our student leadership development, and the support and networking emphasis that we have. This was a difficult sort of classification to create because there's a lot of slippage and fungibility among these various things. Many research initiatives, for example, take place in the classroom where classes are being taught how to do good research. But we will stick with this as a helpful heuristic. So for teaching, we support curriculum grants and also faculty fellowships. In research, we've got undergrad research grants, grants for research on engagement, which is a distinction you'll hear more about in a minute, and support for graduate student grants. And then engaged opportunity grants are perhaps our most popular thing. Again, we'll get into more detail later. And community engaged student travel grants support individual students. And we got a couple of awards too. So I want to invite you as we start diving into this to raise your hand at any point if you have questions. We're kind of pouring a whole ton of information at you. All of this will be available later, so you don't need to worry about, but if questions do crop up in the moment, please feel free to ask. So the Engaged Curriculum Grants, this was our flagship grant program, and it exists because Cornell made the fairly radical decision that we would try and advance community engagement, not from the margins, as often happens, but from the very heart of the curriculum. This is an innovation that hasn't been tried intensively anyplace else. It's an extraordinary luxury to have the resources to be able to do this, and there's some incredibly exciting work being generated out of these. So the idea here is that teams of faculty can get support through this program in creating or developing curricula that connect community engagement with disciplinary learning. The team has to involve three or more faculty members, and half of those have to be actively tenured or tenure track. The funding ranges from $10,000 to $80,000 a year based on grant type. So we understand this program as a developmental process. We see many teams who have kind of an idea but aren't ready to launch yet. They may get a planning grant in the first year of $10,000. In the following year, they may say, okay, we're ready to launch this thing, and they may get a development grant. You can actually get two development grants back to back. The first is $80,000, the second is $60,000. And for teams that have already done exciting, amazing stuff and they're looking to push it to the next level, maybe do further development or evaluation or expansion of exciting work, they can apply for an advancement grant. Now, there is a gap in funding that's a one-year gap that is required between development and advancement grants, but we can discuss all of this in the future, should that be helpful. No team can exceed $150,000 total in funding, and the selection criteria essentially are about high impact. We don't generally support one-off individual courses, but if they are feeding multiple curricula, then we may. We're really excited about a collaborative role. The community partners are part of the visioning from the beginning, shaping the project in ways that will benefit them concretely. Obviously, we are excited about strong learning outcomes. We have some very specific Engaged Cornell learning outcomes that we can talk about later. And we're interested in the ways in which teams propose to assess the student learning, the partnership, and the products of the partnership. So this is a grant that requires a letter of interest due January 17th. Unlike some funders, we don't do the LOI in order to weed people out. We do it in order to get a sense of what people's interests and prospects are so that we can work with them and they can submit the strongest possible proposal. And then earliest start date is mid-July. Anybody have a question about this mechanism? If you go to our website later, you can also see examples of what many of these look like, which can be a lot of fun.
And we have one-pagers of the most recent grants that were given in the back as well.
Great.
So they have brief descriptions of each of these grant projects if you're interested to know what's been funded under them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you. All right, engaged faculty fellowships. So for many years, we supported one faculty fellowship program. This is a year-long learning cohort. They meet once a month. They do reading. They have projects that they work on. and it was always centered on engaged teaching and learning. This year, for the first time, we've created a second fellowship program that's centered in engaged scholarship and developing products of engaged scholarship. Many of the faculty are creating academic publications out of their community engaged work. A handful are deepening or expanding the community-oriented products of their work. So some are gearing toward academic audiences and some not. But so these are open to any full-time faculty member or academic staff member, including lecturers and extension faculty. They receive $2,000 for participation over the year and have access to an additional $1,000 for conference travel. And what we look for in that is the merit and the soundness of the plan. Is what they're doing exciting? Is it going to be beneficial to students and to the partners? And how will this have a high impact on student learning in particular? Our emphasis across the board always boils back down to student learning. Did you have a question?
No, I just noticed that that date isn't right. I missed that.
Oh, that's
bad.
It's all in. Yes, so we normally do in May, and it's an academic year program. The applications are usually due in May. Questions on faculty fellows?
We do have a question.
We do.
Just a clarifying question.
Yeah.
If an academic fellow had gone through the one-year program previously, could they then come back and apply for the second year now or in the future?
So do you mean if they'd done the, so now they're called faculty fellows in engaged learning, could they then come back and do faculty fellows in engaged scholarship?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, excellent question. About half of our, I think exactly half of our cohort for faculty fellows in engaged scholarship this year have been in the past faculty fellows in engaged learning. It's one of the ways in which the teaching and the research components of this work are really richly interwoven. Thank you for pointing that out. Undergrad engaged research grants. So these are about, as you might imagine, enhancing student discovery through community engaged research. Research and scholars with established community engaged research or scholarship are eligible to create these student programs. Funding is $25,000 for a single year. And there's a possible renewal for an additional year with a maximum of $40,000 over 2 years. So for this, again, you're seeing a lot of similarities here in what we look for. We want to know that the project is sound and strong, that the community partner is in a powerfully collaborative role, and that the benefits to the communities will be coming from, determined by those communities. Student learning outcomes and student access are really important. We are aware that of the many kinds of equity issues going on today, one of them is that students of lower means often cannot afford to participate in activities that take a lot of time but don't compensate them because they need to have jobs, or obviously if there is a financial bar to participation. So we take seriously addressing those concerns in these programs. If you're going to have a summer program that's going to prevent students from getting a summer job, find a way to fund it so that they aren't left out in the cold. Submission dates in January and the earliest start date in April. Yes, Amanda.
Just also a note on that, we have historically said established community engaged researcher scholars, but we really are opening that up so that if there is something that you're doing and you haven't necessarily done it with undergraduates before and you want to try it, we're definitely thinking more about how we can do that and support that. So don't let that kind of put any fear in you. We're definitely looking for kind of startups as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes?
Sorry, I was late for a minute. So if you have already answered the question. So what's the definition of a community? It's a local community or the group of people. So how to define community engaged?
Yep. So we get this question a lot. we actually don't define it for you. We ask you to define the community that you would like to work with. So it may be the community of, Dutch students in a particular town. It may be a community of people with disabilities. It may be a community that lives in a certain place in a different country. It may be a linguistic community. It's up to you to define.
Okay, so it doesn't has to be any student affected on campus. Can be any external community, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, the only line that we do draw, and I'm just noticing it's actually not in here, we do expect that when we talk about communities, that they're typically off campus. And that is a little controversial because there are many very exciting programs to, for example, support, you know, graduate student mental health, and there's lots of exciting community engaged work that could be done in that. Our sense is that there tend to be sufficient funding streams for on-campus work, and our chosen emphasis is off-campus.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else on this? Grants for faculty research on engagement. We had to rename this thing a couple of times because a lot of people thought that what we would be funding, or perhaps should be funding, is community-engaged research by faculty. Challenge is, there are tons of faculty doing community-engaged research, and they have all kinds of other funding streams. So we wanted specifically to encourage research on the effects of community engagement. How does it affect student learning? How does it affect communities? Why is engaged learning, for example, how is it qualitatively different from other kinds, more conventional kinds of teaching and learning? So this is open to researchers and scholars in any field of study, $60,000 a year maximum, possible renewal for 1 year with a max of 100. And the selection criteria, again, clarity of goals and specific aims of the research. This one is new. We're really interested in research that is relevant to community-engaged learning and research in the Cornell context. Essentially, we want our community to be able to learn from these kinds of grants about what makes for better community engagement and scientific merit, feasibility, and innovativeness of the research approach obviously matter substantially as well. January 31st deadline, start date April. Questions? Yeah.
What's the number of faculty need listed on this proposal? Like, how many faculty
Are doing this grant?
So like the researchers and scholar earlier say, some grants require at least two or three faculty. Is there any number required for this one?
Can be independent.
Independent,
single.
Just one PI, one faculty.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, the only one that requires a team is the curriculum grants.
Okay.
And that's fairly logically because we don't want curricula being created that are solely about the passion and enthusiasm of one person. That person goes on sabbatical, everything falls apart. That person gets recruited away to someplace else because of their brilliant community engagement work, everything falls apart. So we want a team of support for that. Other questions?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, please.
So
what we're here for.
For community engaged learning still sounds a bit too abstract for me. Can you give one example? Like what kind of research, like that research can be community engaged learning?
Yep. So what's your field?
Computer science, information science.
Okay. So I know of a program, a course, that partners students in your department, that partners students with the Racker Centers for design, collaborative design of apps and instrumentation to support people with disabilities in various ways. And so the course is about teaching students these various skills of developing these things, but instead of developing something in the abstract or something just for profit, they're developing something with a social purpose, and they are guided in that process through partnership with this community entity so that they've got people telling them what's a good idea, what's a bad idea, you know, what do we need, what would be useful. We have lots and lots of examples if anyone needs a disciplinarily specific example. engaged graduate student grants, these are very exciting. PhD students in any graduate field are eligible for a $15,000 grant to support their community engaged work. The idea here is to build researcher scholarship that engages with communities. Selection criteria are obviously potential for success. We tend to see most of these in the later stages of dissertation development. Is that right? Oh, not anymore. That's shifting. Okay. That's cool.
But it does need to be connected to your dissertation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Very good. Likelihood that the project will contribute to the academic and career trajectory. Again, clear collaboration with a community partner. merit and soundness of the project plan and strength of supplementary programming. Amanda, can you tell us more about that?
So have you had coursework in that kind of thing? Have you done an IRB that's thinking about how to work with community partners? Just how comfortable do you think you're going to be in terms of working in this particular kind of methodology?
Mm-hmm. Nice. So another January deadline, notification in mid-March. Questions on grad grants?
How can we spend money? The student, like, can we only use that money for student insurance stipend, or we can use only for research for this one?
This is a program that Amanda administers, so...
Yeah, so it's pretty wide open. You can definitely use it for insurance. You can use it for housing if you're going somewhere, if you're using it during your fieldwork study. Or your field work, you can use it for travel, you can use it to support your research, you can use it to pay your community partners,
okay.
Which is something that's pretty unusual and something we do across all of our grants that is actually very unusual in a lot of the funding worlds. You can use it for, you know, basic technical kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it seems like an unlimited gift.
It's not quite unlimited. You can't use it for stipend.
Okay.
You can't use it to buy, you know, huge big infrastructure, equipment, projects, that kind of thing. But yes, it's pretty flexible.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else on this one?
I'll just note around the budget question. So on the engage.cornell.edu, all of the RFPs are up for these grants and they're current to this year. So there's budget information that spells out really clearly the unallowable expenses, the different categories of expenses. So that's a good place to look if you're starting to think about the details of those budgeting questions and what you would use the money for.
Thanks, Ashley. Engaged opportunity grants. We have a deadline for these tomorrow. So these exist basically as a bit of a catch-all, because we recognize there are some very important streams of funding that we didn't have separate lines for, and so we thought we would experiment with putting them all in a similar pot. We've got three different, let's see it up here. So there are three different kinds of opportunity grants when you go into the application. Click which of these three purposes is yours. So there's a line to support student leadership activities. There's a line to support travel for faculty or staff who are presenting at professional conferences. And there's a line very elegantly called Other, which is where we see all sorts of fascinating things. It's often considered a seed grant, so maybe you have a really neat idea about a citizen science program you want to start in collaboration with the rural community. You've got somebody in the high school you think you're going to work with, but you're not quite sure what it's going to look like. You can get one of these and spend a year or so building out the idea. You can support travel back and forth, look at other models of similar examples in other places, imagine what this thing might look like. We also see a lot of these for continuations of interesting stuff that happened. So maybe a course invited students to create products for a client. I'm thinking about some historic preservation work. And what the students created was cool and was meaningfully researched, good knowledge, but they didn't have the time in the semester to really refine it and make it, you know, a professional quality presentation. Faculty might apply to support a graduate student to refine those projects over the summer, say, so that the client then is really getting professional quality stuff. Selection criteria again, evidence of community identified or community engaged project need, quality and feasibility. Are you actually going to be able to do something useful with this? And benefit to curriculum, to pedagogy, or to student learning and leadership. So this is our most flexible program. We have four different deadlines over the course of the year. And that's largely, again, because it meets such a wide variety of needs, and it has come to our attention that the more we offer this, the more useful it is to serve those flexible purposes. Any questions around this? Yes.
Is there a time duration for using this grant?
So they're in a 1 year time frame.
Mm-hmm. And should the grantee be affiliated in Cornell in this 1 year duration?
Yes, yes. I think Cornell faculty, staff, and affiliates are eligible to apply. Yep.
I mean, if, for example, I'm a, I'm an exchange fellow, and I'm finishing by June, so I'm not eligible for this, right?
Right. Unless someone snaps you up and puts you in place as a postdoc, or you know, I don't know your particular situation, but yes, you need to be affiliated with Cornell during the time to receive the grant. Other questions?
I'll just point out for anyone who's interested, this is also where we are supporting some of our good partnership work with our with the Extension Association. So. Folks who are in extension associations or part of extension can apply for this particular funding mechanism to help kind of create projects working with community partners and connecting back here to Cornell, particularly with undergraduates.
Mm-hmm. And community engaged student travel grants. So these are specifically for winter, spring, or summer break. If you're doing community engagement during any of those periods. And Cornell students across the board are eligible, undergrad, grad, and professional. It's capped at $1,500. And selection criteria, as you might imagine, are about the quality of the proposed project, potential for student impact. We want to make sure that this is going to be a rich learning experience for the student who's doing it. Potential for community impact. Want to make sure it's going to be useful for our community partners. And feasibility and sustainability. And this is just to say, if this is a wild, one-off, interesting thing, it's still welcome to apply. But many of our recipients of this often are part of longer-term programs that are known for robust preparation, strong partnerships. So we're supporting things that that we know are powerfully impactful both for students and communities. And three submission dates for this, in October to support winter break travel, in February to support spring break, and in March to support summer travel. Joy.
Here is a question from friends online.
Excellent.
Are the slides available on the site or can they be emailed?
Is this?
So we can definitely email, so
yeah.
We encourage them to send us their email. That would be helpful. And what we're doing is recording this, and so it should be up online, connected to all of these in a few weeks.
I don't know that we've put the presentation itself up. All of this information is drawn directly from the website.
Yeah.
So if you have interests in a particular grant program, certainly you can go to that, and you'll be able to watch us over and over again, which will be a delight.
And if you make a meme, send it to us, and Ashley will post it. That'd be great.
Be awesome.
Yes. So, Engage Scholar Prize.
Sure.
Amanda's going to take us through the rest of these.
Sorry, I have a question about
First
one for student travel grants.
Yeah.
So, is that for a student to apply for, not faculty? The students will apply for that.
Okay.
Is that can a group of students apply together? Like $1,500 if the shop like is not a long trip and a group of students apply together, they get to share that fund. Is that fine?
That's a good question. I'll let Julie
answer.
The
applications are individual. So the question is, if a group of students are going on the program together, can they apply? Can you repeat the question about how?
Yeah, so basically, so that's, let's say, whether if there's a group of students that travel together to work with a community, should they apply together to this grant, or they are able to apply individually?
Okay, thank you. Individually.
Individually.
Though, Joy, is it, I think in the past it's worked that if there's a group and like there's one faculty member overseeing, if there's a letter of support needed, that faculty member can write one letter of support for the whole group, even though the students have applied.
Okay.
Individually, the faculty member doesn't have to write 10 different letters to go with each grant application.
But
okay.
The individual applications should be written by the student leader.
Okay.
They should be individual.
All right.
And part of that is because we see that, you know, each individual has their own kind of the students, right? And so they're going to do reflections and they're going to do parts of things to be part of the program, so they need to be funded as individuals between that. Question?
Other thoughts?
Great.
So Anna has taken us really through kind of all of our funding mechanisms. So I'm going to finish up with kind of the ways that we celebrate this work and the ways that we kind of really are excited about kind of highlighting and showcasing it. And then kind of finish with some of the things that we offer kind of for support and networking. So the first of these is the Engage Scholar Prize. This is our kind of large flagship prize and award that we give to Cornell faculty members, really to kind of highlight faculty who have kind of that well-rounded experience of being both community-engaged researchers, excellent teachers in community engagement, folks who have really worked on deep, long-lasting, sustained partnerships. And so this is a $30,000 prize. It's on par with all of our other highest teaching awards given at the university. And really the expectation is that that money is then used to kind of strengthen and deepen the partnership activities. So we've had people use it to continue films with work that they've done. We've had people use it to do different kinds of in-depth evaluation and analysis of the partnership that would then get written up for publication, different kinds of things like that. And there's also an expectation that the scholar represents Engage Cornell in a public presentation of some sort. So this year, Shorna Allred, who is our Engage Scholar, will be presenting at the Sustainability Summit, for instance, on her work that she does on Rustin Green in Binghamton and Utica. So really the award criteria there are the contributions to teaching and mentoring. Again, these are people who have been doing this for a long time, who have a lot of experience with this, and their accomplishment in doing research that addresses the community needs. So this is both a teaching and a research award. Interestingly about this is new. We have moved up the deadline for this. In the past, this deadline was in the spring. We've moved it this year to the fall. So there is a November 14th deadline for the nomination. That nomination can be a self-nomination, or it can come from a chair or a colleague, something like that. And we think we'll be doing the announcement in April. At this time. So just that's a little bit new and different. Questions about the Scholar Prize? Great. So then our other faculty award is the Levy Award. And this is for faculty members as well. This is also, we've seen a lot of interest in this from folks at the senior lecturer position. This is really about to celebrate long-standing, well-established, sustainable partnerships. So faculty who have really kind of long experiences with a particular community partner, really kind of has incorporated community design into their research, into their teaching, really has that kind of sustainable partnership. And that partnership has gone on to really build, whether it's the organization or the community where that is located. Also part of this is integrating students into that experience, whether it's in a course, whether it's through research, how students have been engaged in that. And the money is expected to go to help to continue that partnership in some way. This is a $5,000 award. And again, we have moved up the deadline. So the deadline is October 31st this year. Again, self-nominations are welcome here or from fellow colleagues, supervisors, chairs, deans, other good people. So those are our two awards. Questions about them? Thoughts about them? Great. So then lastly, what we have here, make that go up there.
Minimize it.
Yes. So lastly, that's a lot of words. That's more words than we wanted, sorry. But really, we just wanted to make sure that you all are aware that we really are committed to supporting your work at all phases and all stages of wherever you're thinking about doing this kind of thing. If you're interested in everything from connecting with community partners at the service fair to coming and having a drink with us at a happy hour, we are happy to kind of meet you where you're at and work with you on your projects and on your courses in any kind of ways that we want to do that. We do have workshops that are ongoing. We also do one-on-one consultations. Anna and I are always free and available to help you brainstorm, think through stuff, think through just the project itself, as well as how it may actually get funded by us in some way. We like all of those conversations. And we really do take seriously this idea of networking. We recognize that there are only two of us and there are 1,600 faculty and 7,000 staff members as part of Cornell, and so we can't do all of this work on our own. So we really are interested in figuring out ways that we can support a network, a robust network of community-engaged scholars and practitioners who can support each other on this road to community engagement as well. So we encourage you, welcome you, always want to hear from you about your projects and about where you are around different kinds of things. So with that being said, be in touch. This is Anna and I's email. Our executive director, Basil, is also available and very willing to help with different kinds of conversations, different kinds of questions that you may have. Like we said, we think we're pretty approachable. We hope we're pretty approachable. Mm-hmm. We love kind of being in conversation with people at all of the different stages of their projects, and so we really do encourage you to be in touch. So with that said, I open the floor to general questions, to general thoughts, and okay, we're at like perfect timing. So we have a few minutes for that, and then we can break into even individuals if you need to do that. Yeah.
If you want more information about the grants and to stay up to date on the deadlines or all of those cool events that are coming up, you should be on our email list if you aren't already. We're asking everyone here to sign in, whether you want to be on the emails or not, but you can just note your email address. And if you want to be on the email list, and we will send you regular updates about the cool stuff that's coming up. If you are on the Zoom, let comment with your email address and we can add you as well.
I saw there was a art and science of critical reflection tomorrow.
Yes.
When and where is that? And do you have to sign up in advance?
We do ask people to sign up in advance. Let me chat with you afterwards about it. Okay. And I'll let you know more details. Cool. All of those signups are available on the website. Can you tell we do a lot by the website? It's a good place. Lots of information. Yeah.
I was wondering, engaged graduate student grants, what is the time span for the implementation? Let's say if the award is granted,
mm-hmm.
what is the time given to implement that?
It's a year. Yep, so you have a year. We are pretty free and easy with our no-cost extensions, so you also have the potential for a no-cost extension for that, but the grant time is a year. Other general questions? Anything online? Our Zoomers?
Y'all learned everything you came here to learn so fast?
Brilliance. Brilliance in this room. I can feel it. Cool. Well, we won't keep you any longer than you're here, but we will stick around for a few minutes. If you have individual questions, we are happy to chat with you and answer them and get you pointed in the right direction. Thanks so much for coming, everybody. It's good to see you.
Thank you.